random jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Saxon Trestle in The Attic Window.
Three times every year, Evadne decides that our collection of music is in a terrible mess and needs sorting out. This is usually because I have been able to find something that she couldn't. The upshot is that we take it all off the shelves and out of the cupboards in the drawing room and dump it in the middle of the floor and on the settee and on all the chairs. And if they're not quick, even on the cats. And having got that far, something always happens to make Evadne lose interest and rush off leaving me to put everything back where it was. Well, one morning in the early part of the autumn, we began this blessed ritual all over again. There you are then, Evadne. That's the last shelf clear. And I warn you, I am not putting it all back again on my own. Not even if Mousy Butler phones to invite you out swan-upping, or the vicar wants you to help him pick his nuts.
He's not going to get many nuts this year, as a matter of fact. I particularly noticed as I passed the vicarage yesterday.
Well, you know what I mean, dear. Now, what exactly do you intend to do with this little lot?
I intend to sort it out, of course.
Evadne, as far as I'm concerned, it's already sorted. I've had it all and off these shelves, in and out of those cupboards, so many times. I know everything that's here and precisely where it's kept.
Well, I don't.
Well, if you'd stay and help me put it back for a change, you'd find out.
Hilda, if we had a proper system, we'll both be able to find things anyway.
We can both find things now, dear. And if you've lost anything, you'll be only to ask.
I prefer a proper system. Now, let's start with the musical scores. We'll sort them into alphabetical order. I'll pass them to you, and you put them on the big table in their various piles, all right?
Just as you like, dear.
Right, then. First batch coming up. The Merry Widow.
The Merry Widow.
The Belle of New York.
The Belle of New York.
The Quaker Girl.
The Quaker Girl.
Hilda, you're supposed to be sorting them.
I am sorting them, Evadne.
And why have you put them all in the same pile?
Because they all begin with the...
That is not the way to do it.
That is the way I've always done it.
And that's just what I'm trying to change. No wonder I can never find anything. Hilda, the Merry Widow goes under M. The Belle of New York goes under B. And the Quaker Girl under Q.
Yes. And if we do it that way, we end up with 26 piles.
Hmm.
And there just isn't room on this table.
All right. I mean, how many piles do you end up with if we do it your way?
Three.
Three?
Yes. Titles beginning with the, titles beginning with A or M, and everything else.
How do you manage to find anything?
Well, really, very simple. If it begins with the, I know it's in the big cupboard there. If it begins with A or M, I know it's in the smaller cupboard there. There's not so many of those, you see. And if it doesn't begin with any of those, then I know it must be on the shelf somewhere. With the exception of the Gilbert and Sullivan operas, of course. They're all in the Ottoman.
Is there anything about keeping scores in the Ottoman?
Only GNS.
I wonder if it all got you. And are they all out now with the rest ready to be sorted?
No, they're still in the autumn and they don't need sorting.
Hilda, I want everything out. We are going to sort everything.
Then I suppose you'll want the stuff out of the sideboard as well.
What have you got hidden in the sideboard?
Just Noel Coward. Oh, and all the Ivanovellos.
Well, you certainly haven't got all the Ivanovellos. The Dancing Years is on that piano stool under the pile of sheet music. Or do you have a special hiding place for anything with the word dancing in the title?
As a matter of fact, Evadne, that is asked because I was going through it before you started all this nonsense. I happen to prefer singing songs to filing them. After all, that is why they were written.
Well, if it was easier to find them, we might be able to devote more time to performing them. I'm already worn to a shred just trying to winkle them all out.
If you'd like a little break there, I'm game.
I suppose that means that you'd like a little break.
Well, I have to admit, I wouldn't mind relaxing for a few minutes. Taking five, as we used to say.
I don't remember you ever taking less than 25. And at the end of that, we were lucky to find you. Still, if you want a break.
Here, I'll move this lot off the pedestal, Evadne. You can sit there and rest your weary bones.
Thank you.
Would you like to play something while you're sitting?
I thought I was being allowed a rest.
Yes, but you look so silly sitting there doing nothing.
You look as if you're waiting for the broker's men to come for the piano. Oh, very well, then. What do you want? That's the dancing years in your hand, isn't it?
Yes. But as you're resting, I won't ask you to play at all, dear. Let's just do that lovely little song that Greta sings, Primrose. It's number 18 in the score, dear, and it's page 82.
All right. I can see where you've stuck the piece of paper, Hilda. Leave it here and let's get on with it.
Of course. Roma Beaumont used to do it lying on top of the piano, you know.
I suppose she knew best.
Was the naughty little blossom, and she lived on with Rosie, and she always dressed so cute. When she went up west and did her best, Primrose used to come home rather later than a decent hour. At least her neighbor, knowing her daughter, caught her in name of Primrose. The Sunday afternoon, walking through the summer Sunday moon, find about her, you'll love her, Miss Primrose. See her parasol beneath the trees, dainty as a flower and Japanese, when she walks out with her Pekingese, Miss Primrose. She lived with lots of men, she lived a Primrose year, and she always dressed so cute. When she went up west and did her best, Primrose used to come home rather later than a decent hour. The great neighbor, knowing her daughter, thought her in need of Primrose. Didn't their Iva write such catchy tunes? Let's leave the score on the piano, dear. And we'll do something from it every time you get tired. Which is bound to be quite frequently at your age. Now, who's that, I wonder?
I'll go.
No, you won't. I'm not having you doing your usual vanishing trick with this lot all over the place.
What? Yes, Dangleder?
See who's at the door, will you, dear? And if it's anyone for the doctor, tell them she's incommunicado.
Tell them she's where?
Just tell them she's out.
Right, old Dame Elder.
And just hope it's not someone come to visit me. There's nowhere for them to stand in this room, let alone sit.
Would you like me to go and tell them we're both out?
Oh, don't be silly about it. And anyway, it might be someone I'll be glad to see.
I say, Dame Elder.
What is it, Maud?
Can you come to the front door and sign?
Sign? Well, what is it, dear? Not someone else with a petition about the Sunday market. I've already signed petitions both for and against it.
No. It's someone delivering something for the doctor, and he wants his sheet signing.
No, that's all right, Maud. I'll go. Anyway, why didn't you sign it yourself? You can write, can't you?
As good as most, doctor, and better on some. But I ain't signing, not on behalf. I signed for a 3-piece suite once on behalf of someone. And when it turned out to be just a 2-piece that had been delivered, who do you think got the blame?
It's always the way. I've learned never to pee-pee.
See, I does them a favor by signing on behalf, so their suite had not have to be took back and brought all the way out again, and them lose all that time when they might have been sitting on it. And what's the upshot? You'd think I'd lost their blessed chair. No, I ain't signing for what ain't mine. Especially if it's yours, doctor.
right message.
I'll have to go, Hilda. You can't leave the poor man standing on the step all day.
Oh, very well. But just you make sure you come back here that
night. Don't worry. I'll be back.
Incidentally, Maud, what is it that the man's bought for her?
I don't know, Dame Mildred. He didn't know neither, because I asked him. But it's in a cardboard box. It's long and thin, and it's got handle with care written on it.
That doesn't sound the sort of thing Evadne usually gets. But the last thing she had delivered was an anvil. Is the man local?
Oh, no, Dame Mildred. He's come all the way from Berkhamsted. And he don't expect to be back before Friday.
Well, if Evadne keeps him on that step much longer, he'll not be back this side of Christmas. What is she doing out there? Evadne! Evadne?
Where? Don't say she's upset.
Pop your head round the door and see if she's still in the hall, would you, dear?
Very well, Dame Mildred. But I've an horrible feeling she ain't.
Yes, I've an horrible feeling she ain't at all.
We're right and all. She ain't.
What?
The front door's shut, and I can't see air in the right of her. She's up to it all right.
Well, I'll be blowed. And she broke.
I say, Dame Mildred.
Yes.
You don't suppose she's gone off with that man from Berkhamsted, do you? He had a lorry down by the gate.
Oh, no, I don't think so, dear. She never takes lifts from strangers. Not the strangers ever offer them to her. Anyway, her handbag's still sitting on the windowsill there. She'd never go without that. Her police whistle's in it.
Well, I bet she's took whatever it were he brought her to wherever she's going to do whatever she's going to be doing with it.
Yeah. Yes, I think I see what you mean. Well, I'll tell you one thing, dear. I am not putting this lot back on my own again. I'll find her if I have to ransack the place. I'll tell you what. Now you look downstairs and I'll look up. And the first one to find the doctor can have her head on a plate. It was a curious feeling trying to find it, Evadne. After all, both Maud and I are more accustomed to trying to lose her. But, eventually, I found her. She was right at the top of the house in our big attic room. And imagine my surprise when I walked in and I found Evadne with her eye glued to an astronomical telescope that she had poking out of the window. Evadne... There you are. Didn't you hear me calling you?
No, I didn't. No.
Then you should go and have your ears syringed. You're obviously becoming as deaf as a post in your old age. And what on earth are you doing?
I am preparing to observe the universe, Hilda.
So, what's all the hurry? The universe will still be there when you finish putting all that music back.
Oh, must be nice to be so certain about things.
And where did you get that from anyway?
I ordered it. There was an advertisement in one of the magazines I was reading at the dentist's a few weeks ago.
I thought you were a bit quiet when you got home. I assumed it was the Novocaine that had shut your mouth. But it was guilt, was it?
Guilt? What have I got to feel guilty about? It's on approval. If I send it back within 14 days, I don't have to pay a penny.
And how much of the universe do you expect to be able to see in 14 days?
That will depend on how often I'm interrupted, won't it?
And what will it cost you if you keep it?
£100. Well, there about.
How much?
Well, 200 and something pounds. But I can take off at £5 a week.
At that rate, you'd never live to own it.
And who are you hoping to see with it anyway?
Well, I'm not really very sure. I mean...
If I decide to keep this, I shall be able to see Halley's Comet with it. It's due to appear again in 1986, you know.
Who's it? And when was the last time it appeared?
In 1910. It comes round every 76 years.
Oh, well, I thought you'd have been sick of the sight of it. May I have a look through that thing?
No. Well, you see, but you'll not see much while it's still daylight.
Do you mean the universe isn't there in the daytime?
Didn't you learn anything at school?
Not a great deal about the universe, dear, no.
Oh, go on then. Have a look if you want to.
Thank you. No, you're right. There's not much to look at up there. Ooh, but doesn't it make the birds look big? What's that? If you swing it down, you get a lovely view of Saturn.
Hilda, that instrument is intended for use in scientific studies, not as an aid to peeping toms.
Well, I don't know what it'll show you of Jupiter or Mars, but you can't half see well into the butchers. Oh, just look at that old rogue. I never knew he put bread in his sausages.
Well, you don't know everything.
I will do now I've got this.
You haven't got it. It's mine.
Oh, no, it isn't. You haven't paid for it. And until you have, we share it. I say, I do wish Mrs. Wilkinson would clean her front windows.
What's that to you, whether she does or not?
Well, it's a bit of a waste having a telescope and not being able to see into Mrs. Wilkinson's front room. Mine, the milkman's obviously there. I can see his crate hidden under the hedge.
Now, Hilda, come away from that window.
Well, then, doesn't this make the big house seem close? Oh, and there's Lorna Dillenforth coming out of her front door. She's getting into her car. She's going to reverse out. Oh, no, she's not. No, she's going forward, straight into the garage door. Bang!
Oh, good old Lorna. She's a dreadful driver.
I wonder where she's off to. Ah. Ooh, now there's Major Dillenforth.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming out of their side door, and he's going to the dustbin. He's lifting the lid.
It's beginning to sound like Mrs. Dale's diary.
He's leaning in. And he's taking something out. Did you hear what I said, Evadne? He's taking something out.
Well, it's his rubbish, Hilda. I mean, he can do whatever he likes with it. What is it?
Well, it's an enormous bunch of flowers.
Flowers?
About 20 or 30 pounds worth, must be. Lilies, gladioli, tuberoses, camellias. All wrapped in cellophane with a huge red bow.
Yeah, they sound rather ostentatious. No wonder he hid them in the dustbin.
Now, where could he be going with that lot? He's trotting along the road. He's very jaunty in his step. And a twinkle in his eye.
Can you actually see the twinkle?
Oh, yes.
A jolly good telescope, isn't it? Oh, I do wish it would get dark.
I don't. Not until I know what the Major's up to.
Where is he now?
He's vanished behind the Dutch barn. That's funny. Very funny. He should have reappeared by now. Where could he have got to?
You know who lives opposite the Dutch farm, don't you?
Naomi Mellinger.
Mm-hmm. No wonder he had a twinkle in his eye.
He loves gladioli. Yeah. And her husband's in Abu Dhabi. Oh, poor Lorna. Oh, wait a minute. Here he comes again.
Well, whatever he was up to, he was darn quick about it.
Evadne, he's holding a completely different bunch of flowers. Naomi must be throwing a flower-swapping party.
Well, what's he got now, then?
He's got a huge bunch of those gorgeous dahlias that Naomi grows and won't let anybody have.
Well, obviously, Hilda, he's got more charm than you have.
Impossible. What is he up?
Sure. Well, if he's up to no good, he's being rather conspicuous about it, wouldn't you say?
You know, I think he's coming here. I know, he probably wants us to hang onto the flowers that Naomi's given him so that Lorna doesn't find out she's given them to him. But why doesn't he just take them home and tell Lorna that Naomi sent them to her? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because if Naomi ever sent Lorna flowers, Lorna would know at once that something fishy was going on. And with Naomi's reputation, she'd know exactly how fishy that was.
But why should Naomi give the Major flowers anyway?
I say, isn't this interesting? Mm. And I always thought that astronomy was dull.
Yes, who is it?
All right, if I come in, ladies. Oh. Lord, tell me to come straight up.
Why, Major Dillenforth. What a surprise.
We haven't seen you for... Simply ages.
Whatever do you call this, the Stacton Observatory? Do you know, I used to have a telescope when I was a youngster. Didn't do much stargazing, to tell you the truth. Uh-huh. But we lived near the county cricket ground at the time, so I was able to see all the matches, free, gratis, and for nothing, as it were. Oh,
shame on you, Major.
And what can we do for you, Major?
As a matter of fact, I come to beg a favor.
Oh, yeah?
Now, I'd like you to take this bunch of dahlias, Hilda.
Go on, babe. Beautiful. Where did you get them? They're almost as gorgeous as the ones Naomi Mellinger grows.
And wouldn't you be surprised to hear that those actually are from Naomi?
Yes. You'd be very surprised to hear that, wouldn't you? Well, yes. I've often wondered what one had to do to get a bunch of dahlias out of them.
Give her something in return. That's what I decided. Something she likes even more than her dahlias. Can you guess?
Well, do you really think I should?
How about an ostentatious bouquet of flowers wrapped up in cellophane?
Yeah. And what else?
A greetings card bearing the mayoral coat of arms. And a personal note from the Lady Mayoress herself.
Oh.
Ah, that shocked you, hasn't it? That was one thing you failed to observe, wasn't it, Hilda?
So you did witness my little charade, then, did you?
Well, I must admit, I did catch the occasional glimpse of it, Major. Oh, quite accidentally, you understand. I was looking for Venus, but I really don't have the foggiest notion of where that might be, especially at this time of day.
Perhaps I'd better explain, Hilda. You see, Lorna and the Lady Mayoress fell out last evening over whose turn it was to organize the next old folks' outing. Well, you know how nasty those meetings can get.
Oh, the outings can get pretty rough as well. They were once asked to leave Clandidno.
Well, apparently last night there was a frightful bust-up. Lorna and the Mayoress both said a lot of things they didn't mean. Well, they meant them all right, but they shouldn't have said them. Not in front of witnesses. And the meeting broke up in disarray. Then this morning, Lorna receives this huge bouquet. Compliments of the town hall.
And no doubt on the Ritz.
Lorna's sentiments exactly. Well, she exploded. She reckoned the mayoress had deliberately chosen all her least favorite flowers. And that if she was trying to apologize, she should have called personally. What's more, she was furious that she'd been pipped at the post in the gracious forgiveness stakes. So, into the bin they went. And off she stormed. Anyhow, I thought this was all a bit of a waste. So I put my thinking cap on, and I thought what Lorna would really like is some of Hilda's chrysanthemums.
Oh, I see. I wasn't so wide off the mark, was I, Daphne? It is a flower-swapping party. Well, Naomi gets the town hall tribute right up her rather vulgar street. I get her dahlias. Of course, they look lovely in my copper urn, if I can ever find it again under all that music. And Lorna gets my chrysanthemums. Oh, lucky Lorna.
That's it, in a nutshell. Lorna's always admired your chrysanthemums.
Well, no, she never says.
Well, you know Lorna.
We certainly do.
Oh, they'll cheer up no end. And that'll be doing me a big favor. It'll stop her taking it out on me, you see.
Then help yourself, Major. You're welcome. I must admit, my blooms this year are even more impressive than usual.
Yes, haven't I done well with them? And now perhaps I can re-angle my telescope toward the heavens.
I said, just have a little peep and see if Lorna's back yet, would you, Doctor?
By all means. Oh, yes, she must be. Her car's in the drive. Hey, oh, and look who's just turning in. It's the mayor's car.
Ah, perhaps she's going to apologize personally after all. I say Lorna will be pleased.
But I bet the Lady Mayoress will, if she can't see her flowers prominently displayed somewhere.
Good heavens, Lorna will kill me. She'll sneak to the bin and they won't be there. I must run. I do hope you'll excuse me. I just hope to God that Naomi hasn't got those blessed things into a vase yet.
If she has, dear, grab it and run on. The Lady Mayoress will adore Naomi's taste in vases.
Well, goodbye, then.
Goodbye, Nathan.
Good luck. Isn't it absurd, the silly things that people get het up about?
Really, yeah, is, isn't it?
I say, Dame Hilder.
Yes, Maud?
I'm off home now. I've done your drawing room for you.
Done what, dear?
I've bummed all your box her. At least they're off the floor.
Oh, no. Well, it's your own stupid fault, Evadne. It wouldn't have happened if you'd finished one job before starting another. Anyway, it's the first time I've not had to put those blessed things back on my own.
Well, at least we shall be equal from now on.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean neither of us will be able to find anything.
Well, I don't suppose it'll matter much. Not now we've got the telescope. Here, come on, stand aside. I want to see how the Major gets on. For all his charm, I wonder if Naomi will give him back his bunch of flowers.
Well, if she doesn't, I know what Lorna will give him. And that is what I believe is called in common parlance, a bunch of fives.
That was The Attic Window, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Proud. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcome Jean Haywood as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guest, Anthony Sharp, and to the members of the Saxon Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by John Dyer.